Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege to look into your word. I pray you bless our study now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been looking at the false doctrine of Mormonism, and we're looking at what they believe about the devil. So this is a quote from Mormon doctrine. It says, "The devil was born as a spirit after Jesus, in the morning of pre-existence," end quote. That's from Mormon Doctrine, page 192. Here's another quote. "Jesus and Satan are spirit brothers and were born as siblings in heaven. And we were all born as siblings in heaven to them both." So, that's from Mormon Doctrine, page 163. So, Mormon doctrine is that Jesus and Satan are spirit brothers, and we all are siblings with them. Okay, wow, this is really crazy, isn't it? Well, let's read. Number one, Satan is a fallen cherub angel. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So, Lucifer, Satan, as we call him today, is a fallen cherub angel. And you may say, well, I didn't see anywhere there where it said he's a cherub. Well, let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28:11 is another passage which deals with Satan. Now, this starts out dealing with a human king, excuse me, and goes further to the power behind that evil king. Ezekiel 28:11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been where? In Eden, the garden of God." Now, that's a clue to us, because we know this human king wasn't there. "Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." This about the tabrets and pipes is talking about musical instruments here, referring to them. So is it any wonder that Satan has about conquered the world in music? Everywhere you go, it's rock music. In the church, in the store, in the business, everywhere. It's no wonder Satan has used that tool, because he is a musical creature. Verse 14. "Thou art the anointed," what? "Cherub that covereth." This is why we know Satan is a fallen cherub angel. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast what? Perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Well, that's not true of any human person other than Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created perfect, but none of us were born perfect. Now, we were all born sinners. So this is another clue that goes beyond the human king. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." And that's what Lucifer means, bright one, shining one. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So these two passages dealing with Satan. So Satan is not a spirit brother of Jesus. Satan is a fallen cherub angel. Okay. And so this tells us too that that Satan and Jesus are not brothers, because Jesus is not an angel. Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 deal with it very clearly that Jesus is not an angel. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Well, okay, so he's God then, because it said he made the worlds. Well, in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So Jesus is not an angel. He's God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1 verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God created everything. Jesus is God because he created everything. It says everything was created by the Word, that Word referring to Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. So Jesus is not an angel, he's God. So look at Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Hebrews 1 and verse 4. The Bible says of Jesus being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God, what? Worship him, worship Jesus. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son. So he's contrasting it to the angels. He's made them ministers, flames of fire, but unto the Son. He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So it's contrasting angels. He says this, Jesus, he calls him God. He calls his own Son God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Notice in Hebrews 2, so as we said, Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 show very clearly that Jesus is not an angel. He's God. Fully God and fully man, as we see here. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, so that's us, he also, Jesus also himself, likewise took part of the same. He had flesh and blood, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. This answers the Mormon right here. For verily he, Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So he didn't come as an angel. He came in real flesh. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So the Mormon doctrine that Jesus and Satan are spirit brothers is totally foreign to the scripture, totally foreign to the Bible. Okay. So then with God. Now this is another quote from the Mormons here. I quote, "God used to be a man on another planet." That comes from Mormon Doctrine, page 321. So they teach that God used to be a man on another planet. Let's look at Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Mormon doctrine is actually no different than what Satan himself wanted to do. As we read, he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be above the people. That's just what Mormon doctrine is. They think they're just like Jesus. They're going to be gods someday of their own worlds. And that's why they want lots of children. They want and get married in the Mormon temple so that they are building their eternal family. They'll take with them, which contradicts more scripture right there. So their doctrine is from Satan. It's no different than Satan's goal to rule the world, have people bow down to him. And that's Mormon doctrine. The same thing. Okay, Numbers 23:19. God is what? Not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? So they, Mormon doctrine says God used to be a man on another planet. No, God is not a man. 1 Samuel 15:29. Now, Mormon doctrine is nothing more than Satan's goal himself. It's one and the same. 1 Samuel 15:29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is what? Not a man that he should repent. So Mormon doctrine states that God used to be a man on another planet. And that's from Mormon Doctrine, page 321. That is totally false. That's what Satan wants people to think, to pull down God. But not true. Here's another quote from Mormon. I quote, "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's." That's from their book, Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 130, verse 22. Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 130, verse 22. It says, "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man." So remember, they put the book, Doctrine and Covenants, on the same level as the Bible. Okay, but does God the Father have a body of flesh and bones? No. John 4:23. John 4:23. So you see, Mormons claim to believe the Bible along with their other books. But this is a contradiction to the Bible. So they hold their other books above the Bible. John 4:23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for their Father seeketh such to worship him." God is what? A spirit. "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay, God is a spirit. What does that mean? Well, let's go to Luke 24:36. Luke 24:36. What does it mean that God is a spirit? The question before us now is, the Mormons say the Father, God the Father, has a body of flesh and bones. But the Bible says God is a spirit. Luke 24:36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not, what? Flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Remember their quote? Straight out of Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 130, verse 22. Their quote is, The Father has a body of flesh and bones, as tangible as man's. But John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Luke 24:39 says, A spirit hath not flesh and bones. So, a clear contradiction in the Mormon book, Doctrine of Covenants. God, the Father, does not have a body of flesh and bones. Okay, I have just a few minutes left here, but here's another Mormon quote. This is from the teachings of Joseph Smith. Page is 345 through 347. He said this, I quote, After you become a good Mormon, you have the potential of becoming a god. Let me read that again. This is a quote from Joseph Smith from his teachings, page 345 through 347. I quote, After you become a good Mormon, you have the potential of becoming a god. That's why I say this is nothing more than teaching exactly from Lucifer, the fallen cherub. He wants to become a god. And as you notice here, if you go back with me to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis 3, and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be what? As gods, knowing good and evil. So once again, this quote from Joseph Smith, After you become a good Mormon, you have the potential of becoming a god. That's the same lie that the serpent put forth to Eve. The same lie. No, you can eat of this tree because if you do, you'll become as gods. And God knows this. If you eat of this tree, you'll become like him. You'll be a god like him. Your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, herein is another fallacy here from Joseph Smith. But our time is out for right now, so we'll have to come back to this next time. So, Mormon doctrine is no different than Satan's stated goals of becoming a god himself. So, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.